Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, man, I think I finally made it to America. Cool. They're still playing my music. That's even cooler. I think I must be in California. That's great. Now I can get all these benefits without paying the taxes. Hey, wait. Who's that? Who goes there?
Hey there, senor. I'm sorry, sir. This is not California. This is Texas. And here we have this new law called the fire tax. Yeah, and every time you spend your money, you're going to be paying some big, big taxes. So you might want to think about what you're doing here. You dig, senor?
Yes! Welcome to Fair Tax Time Radio, where if you listen, you might learn something. If you don't listen, you're on your own. We can't help you. Fair Tax Time is the brainchild of our host, John Wesley Nobles. I'm Bill Payne. Join us as each week we bring you special guests and new content. Participate in the chat room and or call in with comments and questions. We're glad you're here. Oh, yes, we are glad you're here. As a matter of fact, our ratings have gone sky high lately for some reason or another. I have no idea why, but whatever. This is Guillermo El Dorado, Fernando Ricardo Roberto Payne talking to you right now. And we won't keep you in suspenders for long distance tonight, so let's bring on our host, Juan Wesley Nobles. Well, I pushed the button.
Si, senor, Juan Nobles here at your service. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, Bill, it is warm out here in California. It's been like 77 degrees. Hate to break your heart. I went out and did a little yard work this afternoon and actually got a sunburn. So anyhow, it'll cool down, so it should be good sleeping weather tonight. Boy, I'll tell you, I am excited, Bill. I think I shared this with you after going to the Unite IE Coalition conference down in Riverside, California this Saturday. We had just a marvelous lineup, as you know, with Governor Rick Perry, Bobby Jindal, Carly Fiorina. We had the Politichicks. We had Evan Sayet. We had, we just had a marvelous lineup. We had a Greek Orthodox priest there that really gave us a great presentation. And most of all, what impressed me was we had 17 of our college students from the High Desert area come down. We gave them tickets so they could attend on us, and we had people from UCR, and it was just marvelous. And had I known that we were going to have Grayson there, I would have found a way to get him a ticket because it would have been marvelous to have him there with us. Just exciting to have the young people. We always ask for them when we hold our meetings, and we're getting some young people to attend, and we're real happy about that. Bill, you want to go ahead and give the audience our first guest bio? I think he's very impressive for a young man. He has some definite ideas and I know where he's coming from, and we'll bring that up a bit later. Did you want to read from his bio, or should I?
I can do that here momentarily. Let me fix something here. There we go. Boy, I tell you what. I hope somebody from Blog Talk Radio is listening, and they'll hear what I think. Anyway, yeah, you know what
I do.
So, anyway, yes, I can give the folks some information about Grayson Peltier. Is our first guest tonight, and he's a member of the board of directors of Tea Party Youth, the home of youth action in the Tea Party movement. Grayson's background includes internet and terrestrial radio commentaries, as well as reporting for organizations like Government Accountability Network and Huffington Post Media's Patch. He started on radio when he was only 12 years old. So today, Grayson focuses on youth and minority issues while studying for degrees in business, economics, and communications at Coastline College in Newport Beach, California. Well, that's too bad. Anyway, he's made president's list and is a co-founder and lifetime member of Alpha Beta Gamma. So he also volunteers as a tax preparer with the IRS's VITA program, helping lower income taxpayers and working through the complexities of tax law to get the best outcome for those who need it most. And all that should tell you a lot and give you a little bit of a clue of how hard it's going to be to get him to think outside that box and understand the fair tax.
Very good point, Bill.
We wouldn't keep you in suspenders for a long distance tonight, but let me check something here. We have Grayson on the line. I'm gonna bring him, activate his line here again. And we have a number of other callers, but I do need to check one to see if it doesn't happen to be our other guest, Raymond Herrera, but I don't know who this is. I don't recognize the number. Let me see here. Okay, I have a 909 area code and 243 exchange. Who do we have on the line, please?
That's Raymond Herrera.
Well, hi. Raymond. I'm glad you're here.
That's him.
This is Bill Payne talking, and John Wesley Nobles is also on the line with us. And we also have our other guest, Grayson Peltier, online with us here too. I'm going to put you back on hold for a second. I made a note that who you are by your number here, so I'll be able to get back with you here shortly, and we'll all have a discussion. All right?
Okay.
Okay, Raymond.
You're sounding good. That was the main thing we'd like to check is to make sure we get a good connection there. So it sounds good. And we'll be back with you shortly. And for the other folks who are listening to the show, if you're listening in the chat room, welcome there. If you'll sign in, we get to kind of play around with that a little bit. And you get to ask questions or comment there or just harass me or whatever you'd like. And if you're otherwise, and also you can call in, of course. Our numbers are 619-393-6478. And if you happen to be one of those unfortunate folks who are charged for long distance, there are probably six of us left in the entire country. But for those folks, you can use our toll-free number, and that is 888-436-1206. And without further ado, I would like to bring on Grayson Peltier, and John, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you guys get things started. I'm going to push a few buttons here.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Welcome, Grayson. We're very, very pleased to have you with us tonight. It's been a while since we had your colleague, Lyda Loudon, who started the Tea Party Youth Movement, and I met her first, I think it's been almost 3 years ago. She was 16 at the time, and she spoke at the Tea Party Patriot Conference in Denver, Colorado, and gave an excellent speech, and we're really proud of you young folks and what you're doing. Grayson, without me taking any time here, I'd like to have you give us a little update, if you would, for starters, on what's going on with Tea Party Youth. And we can get into taxation a little later, but I'm really interested in what you're doing over in Tea Party Youth. Back to you.
Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, Tea Party Youth right now is embarking on a plan to expand before the presidential elections. We are looking to network with like-minded existing on-campus conservative organizations. And we're looking for members for our national leadership team. We have a website at www.teapartyyouth.org that provides weekly news related to youth issues and politics. And that same website is where someone who's interested, who has an existing on-campus group, or who is considering starting a conservative organization on their campus can contact us and network with us to take advantage of some of the resources that we are developing. One of our newest partnerships is with an organization that's had some success in the area of constitution education in K through 12 schools, and we're going to be offering that to high schools and college groups as well. And their program, it's called We the Kids. Their program involves reading the Constitution as well as dialogue on what the Constitution means and in context with today's issues, because that's very important, having what you're learning be applied to today's issues to really inspire activism as a result. And there's also a function that we're going to be developing in partnership with them that would allow the groups that are meeting to review the Constitution discuss to send any pressing questions up to a panel of Constitution experts and attorneys who will answer those questions for all of the groups within the network to understand better what's being discussed.
Well, that's marvelous, Grayson. Just to bring us a little up to speed, I think 3-4 years ago, Tea Party Youth was just really getting off the ground. I'm interested in how much growth you have, you've had over the past couple of years. How large is the organization today?
We're a little over 1,700 members nationwide, and we have not done as much as we could have. That's why myself and the other members of our board of directors have met, and we are looking to do more on-the-ground activism work, and that's why we want those potential leaders to contact us at teapartyyouth.org, because we are definitely looking to expand beyond our 1,700 members, which are communicating and collaborating through our Facebook page, which you can get to our Facebook page from teapartyyouth.org. And we want to expand beyond the bounds of just being on the phone talking to each other online. We want to actually get this full network of on-campus groups and other groups working with us to actually create a greater presence.
Well, that's admirable, and I'll tell you what, we're going to try to help you on that, because we're in touch with college students at various campuses, and I'll tell you what, we'll direct them to you, and maybe through this effort we can stay connected with you as well, because us old folks are really wanting to know what you're doing, and I am really proud to see the work that your organization and YAL and some others are doing, and you know, a lot of the older folks have kind of given up on the youth, and I tell them, don't you dare do it. We've got a lot of good young people like you out there, and Lida, and many, many others, and we're very proud of you, and we're proud of the work you're doing, and we're gonna try to help you out and send people your way. I think it's admirable. You only had a handful of people. Is Danny Oliver still involved with Tea Party Youth?
Yes, definitely. He was actually one of the people that brought me into this organization.
Oh, great.
I remember speaking with Danny on the phone after a Tea Party convention, and he made the introduction to Lida and a few of her colleagues, and we actually just spoke a couple weeks ago. He is also on our board of directors.
Nice young man. I believe I first met Danny in Las Vegas at the, I was covering the Libertarian Convention when Governor Gary Johnson was nominated for the Libertarian Party as their presidential candidate. And Danny's a nice young man and also a very, very hard worker. I see from your bio that you're interested in business economics, and you're active doing tax returns. And, you know, I'm the guy that would like to put an end to tax returns. I would like to get rid of the IRS and the income tax and payroll taxes. I take it you had some time to read some of the information that we had out there on HR 25 Fair Tax Review and fairtax.org today or last couple of days?
Yes, I did take a look at some of the information. Really, what I like to emphasize in all of this is that there are solutions like the Fair Tax out there that are certainly worthy of consideration. But as far as I can tell, we are probably going to be, for better or for worse, stuck with an income tax for the foreseeable future. I think that perhaps what could be done is in states where obviously you have an income tax and you have the possibility of getting a solution in there that would replace the state tax with a new system like the Fair Tax. Perhaps since we have the states as our laboratories of government, we can see how that goes. And if you see a tremendous change as a result of a new tax policy, then that would make it potentially more viable. I have taken note of the support that has come through for the Fair Tax, and it is obviously a viable proposal that should be worked out, and that Congress would be well served to not just put through committee chopping block, but to actually take the time to review and evaluate its merits. But obviously, right now, I'm kind of focusing on the reason why I'm even taking the time and volunteering as a tax preparer and preparing income tax returns is because there are people that could be helped immediately by not overpaying on their taxes under the current system. We're able to sometimes get substantial refunds for people with low incomes, and that could help them until we have this whole rebalancing of the system where everything is fair. That can really help. And I have seen good impacts from that work because obviously while we're still stuck with this, you don't want to be paying more than you have to, and that is what I've been emphasizing more recently in my work, while still, of course, evaluating plans of action as to how to reform the system so that we have better economic growth and perhaps we can lift some people's economic circumstances by changing the whole surrounding situation.
Well, you make some very good points, Grayson. As you are probably aware, we have a number of people that are CPAs and some are former IRS agents that are Fair Tax supporters. And your point is right as far as gaining the momentum and the traction to actually demand of Congress that they take this bill out of committee. I think it's pretty common knowledge that the people that we elect for Congress sell tax papers. So they certainly would not want to give up their power. And if we enacted H.R. 25, they would no longer be able to broker tax favors, and the freedom of choice would go back to the citizens, we the people. So I totally agree. It's going to be an uphill climb, probably equivalent to climbing Mount Everest. But we are gaining momentum in the country. Are you familiar with Bob Vox?
Not off the top of my mind, actually.
Okay. Well, we have been leading a lot of people to a website called popvox.com, and really it's a good place for all activists to weigh in, be it on Fair Tax, any tax issue, any bill on the Hill. So the way it works, Grayson, is this. When you go in, you're quantified because they're going to qualify you with a name, address, email, so that they know you're a real person. And what they do is you can take a position either in favor of or in opposition of any bill, and it just starts out, I support bill number blah, 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 and you fill in the blanks and go forward from there, or I oppose, and you put your statement down, and which is pretty typical. The representatives, your congressmen and senators, would get an electronic message from you. What is unusual with Popbox, though, is that your comments are recorded in the Library of Congress. And because a lot of people on the Hill do follow PopVox, you can bet that those interested on any particular bills are watching the comments from around the country. So we're very, very pleased to report at this moment in time that H.R. 25 is the most active bill of over 1,100 bills introduced since January the 6th. So I don't know if we'll gain enough legs between now and 2016, but we're sure trying, and we know it's an uphill climb, but we have a lot of people that are very, very interested in changing what I call a dysfunctional, pernicious, diabolical tax system, a system that we need to get rid of in its entirety. We have over 70,000 pages of code and procedure. It's convoluted. It's complicated. You know this from doing returns. We rarely get two accountants that agree on doing a major return the same way, and that goes for the same on the government side with the agents. So anyhow, I would like to see it go, and I know a lot of folks in the country would. Perhaps we can maybe take a call or two later, and I'm sure our callers are going to have plenty to say about fair tax. If you don't mind, Bill, could you bring Raymond on the line with us?
I can do that. Let's see.
Very good, sir.
On Raymond's button, and okay. I have pushed the button. And now, there we go. All right, it's lit up red. Are you with us there, Raymond?
Yes, I am, and I'm happy to be here. And good evening, John, and good evening to all of America.
Well, thank you, Raymond. We're happy to have you with us, and we're pleased to have both you and Grayson, two outstanding guests. And I know that your area of interest really is on illegal immigration and, anti-immigration and amnesty. However, you have taken note of the tax ramifications as well. Why don't you go ahead, because your background is pretty long. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about how you got started as an activist. You've done so many things. I know the audience would be happy to hear about it. So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I got started when Jim Gilchrist and the Minutemen Project got started, and it was back in front of Congressman Jerry Lewis's office. I met Robin Vinstant, and her and I became the leaders of the Minutemen Project in political activism in the streets. To make the story short, I have been on major television stations for the last decade. I've done Hispanic media for the last decade. I have basically led, with Robin Vinstant, the pulse of America on immigration here in California and across the nation. We are responsible for many political members of the body politic being elected, voted out here in Victorville, Felix Diaz, Cabriales, in San Juan Capistrano, their mayor and other mayors. And we've taken it, our issue, all the way to Washington, D.C. on many occasions. But we're not alone. We have a lot of Americans, patriots, that have been with us the whole time. And I feel that we have raised the awareness level of America beginning over a decade ago to this level where it's at today. And basically, not only here in America, but I feel that the world emulating the political activism that was brought here by the Minutemen Project, Tea Party organizations, Oath Keepers. We're all one of the same, and we're at a level today where, we're facing tyranny, we're facing taxes that we shouldn't be paying, and it's just, upsetting when you look around and everything. But most importantly, I'm the one that masterminded the Murrieta blockade and executed it with my American patriots, Tea Party members, Oath Keepers, and the like. That was the shot that was heard around the world. It was the day that America found its spine. And it's had a great effect on the debate in Washington, D.C. It's altered the debate. To this day, President Barack Obama is now so desperate that he's pulling executive orders to get around what happened in Murrieta, after Murrieta, in Boston, in Arizona, with members of the Congress and the Senate. He's forced the tyranny of the executive order to pass Immigration Reform Act, that would give 5 million illegal aliens via fiat an executive order that would give them amnesty. So that's where we're at today, and Barack Obama is so desperate, and it all, I feel, started in Murrieta, because all across America saw that day that we could stand up to two presidents, Homeland Security, Border Patrol, and even law enforcement if we have to stop the surge or stop the invasion of America. And for that, you know, I also will mention that Murrieta alone cut the flow, you know, in half and down to a third, just the act of Murrieta, Boston, and Arizona. And so therefore, the American people are standing tall this day, but we need to stand taller. And in the days to come, you'll see in Washington, D.C., that our voice will be heard. And furthermore, on July 4th, I will be one of the featured speakers at the event on the Mall in Washington, D.C., and I beckon all of America, especially those on the East Coast, to come out and join us and show the wrath of the American people. So there, in a nutshell, for 10 years, I've become the most loved American, one of the most loved Americans, but without question, the most hated American on the face of the earth. The Hispanic Latino world, illegal alien world is what I call them, Hispanics, Latinos. They hate me in America, they hate me in Mexico, they hate me all the way down to the southern tip of South America. But then too, John, I got to add, a lot of them love me and a lot of them respect me because my words have been heard in Mexico, and they are standing up against their corrupt government, and they actually chant my name, John. That's just, in a nutshell, as to who I am, and one other thing, I shall not surrender America.
I'm with you, and I'm so pleased to have both of you gentlemen on tonight, because I know we have a common thread, and that common thread is that we're going to follow the Constitution. We support limited accountable government and free markets. We might have different ideas on some bills, but basically we have those three common threads that bind us together, and I think well, you came down to the Unite IE conservative conference in Riverside, and I know that you understand that all took place a little over 2 years ago to get 20 some conservative groups together, and I think it's demonstrable of what we can do, and on short notice. Tell us what your feelings were after attending the conference as to the people that you networked with down there, Raymond.
Well, first of all, I want to mention that the common thread, the common bond, is the American creed, our core values that identify America. It's central to American identity. And it's the core values that were brought here by the Anglo-Protestant settlers that founded America. And it's been passed through, you know, generations, you know, through Thomas Jefferson's, the James Madison's, to the Civil War, and all the way through. It's the bond of the American people. It's the Bible of democracy in America. And I'm just going to emphasize four major components that really concern me and relate to everything that we're speaking of. The first one is equality of condition. The second one, Republican principles of self-government. The third one is the rule of law. And the fourth one is attachment to government. You know, we call it patriotism, love of country. Obama calls us terrorists or whatever, you know, racist or whatever. But, you know, those are the four threads that I'm going to point out for tonight's conversation, that is the common bond that's instilled in each and every one of us, no matter how old we are. If you're an American, you've had this since you were a child. Your moms, your dads. I mean, it's our creed. It's who we are. With that said, you know, that's the one thing that I found in Riverside, and I find at Tea Parties, and I find at Oath Keepers, and I find with Grayson and America's Youth, is that we're all American treated. And as far as the Riverside Convention, I felt like I was in America. Our speakers were great. Some of them were on point, some were not, you know. And the bottom consensus of the Riverside is, like you said, John, the American people came together, people that count, people of merit, people of substance. And that's what's going to win this battle for America is people like Grayson, John, you know, all my friends from Facebook listening across this nation, organizations and coalitions. We are a great mosaic of coalitions, American patriotic coalitions across this nation. We need to be united. And that's what's happening now. And the further down the road Obama takes us with his tyranny, his executive orders, and the imposition of taxes to pay for illegal aliens, the closer we get to the resolve of the American people. And that resolve is this, that we have to work our democracy, but furthermore, we have to take it back. And taking back our democracy, we cleanse our body politics, our democracy, and our American culture, and we return to the core values of, you know, that I gave you. And that should be the crux of our debate as far as the body politic and the issue of illegal aliens and on American soil that costs billions and trillions of dollars in tax and taxes that are afforded to them and not to our youth like Grayson and the up-and-coming next generation of Americans that need to be American created that are not being American created at our universities because, well, you know, it's all about ethnic studies and diversity and tearing down America, tearing down the American tree, tearing down Madison, tearing down Jefferson, tearing down the Anglo-Protestant settlers. So I felt that, you know, Riverside, you know, whether people know it or not, that is our common bond and a common thread, and it was the aura of the Riverside Conference.
Well, you're right on that, Raymond, and I'd like to come back to Grayson for a moment. Grayson, we had Constance Towers with us about 2 weeks ago. She's in her senior year, political science major from University of California, Riverside, and she told us about the difficulty that she has as a student at UCR with the about 75% of the professors being very far left, and the same thing with the student body. I wonder if you might tell us how things are at Coastline College in Newport Beach.
It's been pretty good as far as expressing views. The professors I've encountered are happy to allow you at least your little bit of time if you make a comment on something. I have had maybe one or two professors that have just gotten noticeably annoyed, but not upset and not really retaliating, but just you can tell they're a little bit annoyed by your input. But I've actually had some good conservative professors. My political science professor was actually a Libertarian Party presidential candidate, believe it or not, and I've been received pretty well in most of my classes.
Well, that's good to hear, Grayson. I'm sure if you weren't, you would speak up anyhow, wouldn't you?
Yes, of course. Even in some of the classes that are a bit more difficult, like this semester, I do have one professor who's more noticeably to the left. I'm not afraid to raise my hand when I feel it to be appropriate. Obviously, I sometimes raise my hand a little too much, and I do try to modulate that when I'm in the classroom environment to give the other students a chance to comment. But if there is something I feel needs to be addressed, I'm generally not afraid to address it in the appropriate way.
So you don't feel at all marginalized because you're a Tea Party member?
Most of the times, not really. I'm glad that I have actually a relatively conservative campus here in Orange County. And a lot of times the other students will speak up and agree with me. Like my first semester, I actually had a class where we were talking about gun control. It was an English class, but that somehow came up, I think because we were talking about arguing about politics. And the professor actually remarked, and she was not hostile at all. She was kind of having fun with us. She was like, is this the NRA youth group that I have here in my class? Because there are so many other students that were agreeing on that issue. So obviously having other people to back you up is helpful, and having professors that are willing to be respectful helps. I'm probably more lucky than the average person, I would say, because I have heard some horror stories, and I'm actually applying to transfer from this two-year college into a four-year college, and I'm going to stay alert and try to make sure that my message gets across while not jeopardizing anything else. But I've been blessed and lucky to have a very good past 1 3/4 years of college.
Well, you're doing a marvelous job. We are happy to hear that all is going well for you. And if you hold on for a second, Bill Payne, do we have a lot of people on the phone lines, or how are we doing in that area?
We do have a number of them on hold here. I would like to let everybody know that if you are listening on the phone and enjoying the show, that's great. I wish you could press 9 or something, and that would say, hey, we got somebody really liking the show, but no, that doesn't work. I tell you what you can do, however, if you would like to speak with our host, John Wesley Nobles, or any of our guests, for example, Grayson Peltier, or Raymond Herrera, press 1 on your phone, and that will light up on my switchboard here and show me that you would like to speak. And we do have a person who has raised her hand. I recognize her number. She always has significant things to say. And I'm going to bring her on right now. And her name is Nancy Kesey.
Hi, Bill.
Welcome, Nancy.
Hi, John. Grayson, I have a question for you as a representative of our young people, our youth. You mentioned youth issues. Could you give me some examples of what issues are really resonating with the younger crowd here in the United States?
Yes, I'd be glad to. If you go to our website, teapartyyouth.org, we actually have an article. It's kind of down on the it's like the fourth one down on the page, but it's about teen unemployment. This story is related to some research that's come out that shows that teens being unemployed while in high school actually tremendously decreases the amount of earnings potential they have later on in life. And those issues obviously hit young people right in their pocketbooks or their wallets, and that does gain traction. Obviously, the issues of unemployment and the things that affect really just your daily life is what we get at. But we also have some other assorted issues that are not as related. Like we have an article about TSA agents, different infringements of liberty. They're kind of interesting, affecting your everyday life. And another issue for those like myself that are college age is the different proposals that have been put out by the president to help with college tuition. And we like to point out that those proposals spend a lot of money, a lot of government money, but they don't really get to the core issue of reducing tuition, and they don't promote other educational options that may reduce the cost overall of a college education. And also, a college education without work experience isn't as valuable as one with work experience. And state governments, like even here in California, up north, there was a winery that got cited for offering work experience to some people, volunteer experience, and the government came after them and cited them for violations of minimum wage laws and things of that sort. And that obviously is very relevant to those who are looking to get the work experience they need to get hired, because so many job postings out there today say experience required or experience preferred. And if you can't get that experience, then you're going to be stuck unemployed for a long time. And we want to emphasize that conservatives have solutions to those issues. We can reduce regulations and make it easier for students to get the work experience they need to be successful later on in life. And that's been a major area of focus for us at Tea Party Youth.
Okay, thank you. That doesn't surprise me. I needed to ask, because I'm quite a distance from your age, and things do change. But what I hear you saying is work, the possibilities of jobs, of course, by work, training, that would be the education portion, and the economy allowing for opportunity and choice in our country. I would just like to really get you to thinking about, as long as we tax income, you will be concerned about those issues ad infinitum. If we stop taxing income and we tax consumption, choice, opportunity, under the fair tax, which is a consumption tax, education will not be part of the consumption tax. You will pay no tax on that. So I really encourage that you not worry about the fact that we may not be able to overcome. In fact, some people say, as I heard you say initially, well, it's unlikely that we will change from an income tax system. Unlikely in many areas is what got us into the mess we're in now. And I think the minute we suggest that 535 people plus the president are just not going to give in, I really don't believe that, but our biggest problem is mobilizing and getting people to pay attention. And that's what you're doing with your young group. I just hope you will spend, and don't write it off, your answer, trust me, is the fair tax, a consumption tax of that same amount. Now, with the fair tax, there is a prebate, and that is kind of like a monthly refund that actually pays the taxes under the consumption tax for up to the poverty level. So your concern about helping people who are overpaying, this is exactly what this prebate does and makes it really an answer to stimulate so much of what we've got going on today without actually spending money from the government to stimulate. So I thank you, Grayson.
Thank you. I just want to make a bit of a correction. For the record, I don't believe I said that it was overall unlikely. What I was trying to say is that it is obviously a process that is going to take some time. It's going to take some necessary evaluation. I think that in the long range, there is a good potential that these things can come to full vote, possibly be passed, but I'm just trying to prime everybody that thinks that this is going to happen within the next 2, 4, or 5 years, that it most likely won't be, but it is something that is worth working towards, and that this is not a sprint, this is a marathon or two, and that everything has to be taken very step by step, and that we can't be disappointed if we're not seeing results immediately from our efforts, because there are all kinds of things that need to be done. So it's worth working towards, worth evaluating. It's definitely worth the time, like you said, but it's a process, and it's not the immediate solution. It's a long-range solution that we may be able to implement, and that we may be able to get those great benefits. I especially like the idea of having a pre-bait, as you referred to it, because one of the things we do notice in tax refunds, we see a large refund of thousands of dollars for somebody that's a low income, and they only get it once a year. We try to encourage taxpayers to reduce their withholdings on their W-2s or whatever, or for their pension or Social Security, whatever income they're receiving, to try to alleviate that so they have more of their own income coming during the year. But there are some things that are not, like the earned income credit, which I'm assuming the prebates are a placement for that, that would come in just one payment. And sometimes waiting that long for one payment is not really the best thing for somebody that needs that that cash flow to come into them to pay for what they need to buy. But great comments, great question. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Nancy. And Grayson, to your point on being patient, just by time of being an advocate myself, I'm going into my 47th year of being a consumption tax advocate. I'm about as patient as I can get, and so I would like to see this happen somewhere after the 2016 election, and we're going to work our hardest to see if it'll come about. We know it's a steep hill to climb, but we are rallying support, but you're right. You have to be patient, and you have to keep working on things like this. This is a major paradigm shift that we're proposing here, and it's been well thought out. It's, as Bill Payne says, it's the most vetted bill in the Congress, over $22 million spent on the research before the bill was ever drafted. And I might mention the bill was drafted, it's nonpartisan. It was sponsored by a Democrat and a Republican. And at one time, the Democrats had most of the co-sponsors. So just a little history on H.R. 25, the Fair Tax Act. You made mention of the job situation for young people, and I totally agree with you. I think that there are a lot of issues that come to play there. Taxation certainly has something to do with it. And also the immigration issue. Do we have Raymond on the line there?
Absolutely.
Raymond, maybe you could speak to what you feel are the problems with the illegal immigration and how it impacts American jobs, and especially jobs for our young people.
Well, gladly. First, I'd like to say to Grayson and to your college student from Riverside University that Raymond Herrera and his associates are available to come on campus and, you know, lecture, debate, converse, and get our points across to America's youth. I've been to the University of Riverside. I tore the place down, of course, had people crying and, you know, people just trying to kill me when I got through. But we are available to come to your college or the University of Riverside, and we'd love to. As far as, you know, tax consumption and H.R. 25 and everything, you know, we had this problem here when we first started out with this nation, and that nobody wanted to pay the right amount of taxes. And, you know, hence we got rid of the Articles of Confederation and instituted the Constitution. But, you know, even with H.R. 25, I just want to run some numbers by you how illegal immigration impacts everything. In 2013, the Times put out that we had 1.5 million English learners in the curriculum in the state of California. That didn't count those that are born here and are not English proficient. So given that number, and then given a number of, you know, recently just posted, I posted it on my Facebook, the cost to California for illegal alien children from the border surge. California got 3,909 illegal alien children. Okay, at the cost of $64 million a year just to educate them. Okay, Texas got 5,000. Their cost just to educate the border surge kids will be $78 million. New York got 4,000. Their cost will be $148 million. Virginia got 2,000. Their cost will be $54 million. This is just to educate. New Jersey got nearly 2,000. Their cost will be $58 million. And the total cost of those states is $402 million out of your tax dollars, be it federal income tax, tax consumption method, or whatever. When you add these numbers up, you can see, you know, when you add all the states up, what the tax dollar is going to take to pay that off. We get back to California, 1.5 million English learners, and given, you know, the numbers given by FAIR, you know, when I multiplied it out, oh my God, you don't even want to know the number, John. It's beyond billions, you know, just to educate English learners to displace Grayson because they're bilingual and they got the same degree. They displaced not only Grayson now because they got the jobs like Grayson was saying at the restaurants, at the hotels, you know, the starter jobs. But it's not just about Grayson and college students. It's about America's youth, those that aren't going to college, that aren't going into the trades, that aren't becoming carpenters, iron workers, those that aren't going into, you know, Arby's and becoming the manager, those that aren't going to McDonald's and becoming the manager. So when we talk about the impact of illegal aliens, you know, tax-wise, I just gave you a little brief scenario of what that's like. And you heard Grayson, he can't get a job to save his life. When I was Grayson's age, I could get 10 jobs. I could quit one job and get one 5 minutes later, you know, and it paid well and everything. So that all this total fiscal impact that I'm talking about, it doesn't matter the method of taxation, John, if we're not addressing the issue. The issue is, when you look at health care, that's a tax dollar. You know, I told you that the other night, what it would cost. Millions, just to pay the premiums. When you talk about incarcerations, you talk about, you know, education. When you talk even about once they get out of high school and they get into college, look at all these illegal aliens that are being educated in our schools. You know where that money comes from? It doesn't come from our tax dollars per se. Some of it's starting to come from there. But a lot of it comes from philanthropy. That's, you know, people giving money, you know, organizations, foundations giving money to educate illegal alien students at the University of Riverside instead of giving it to Grayson. So, and you know, philanthropy is also the component of the American creed. That's how we started out. So when we look at the whole impact of illegal immigration on health care, Obamacare, you know, Homeland Security budgets, the cost, you know, in our curriculums and, you know, college and everything, the loss of jobs for the youth, you know, mom, dad, and not just today, but it's already happened for the last 20 years, but it's going to happen from this day forward unless America stands up to, you know, our government that's unfairly taxing us. And by the way, H.R. 25, it's a great concept. I mean, and it would work because it works on consumption, and it provides for the downtrodden, and it provides also for everybody to pay a fair tax at their level. But when all this is said and done, you have to look at the total cost of illegal aliens in schools, in our hospitals, in our, you know, healthcare system, incarcerating them. And then without even thinking further about that, look at thousands of Americans that are dead, what, close to 50,000 since 9/11. Look at the tax dollars that we paid to have illegal aliens not deported, but we paid it, you know, to our government to protect us. And yet our families and our children, they're being murdered in the streets. and you know, picks up the tab, you know, on those, the American tax payers, and also those the families that are have their children murdered and stuff. And all this is you know, a concern to me. It should be a concern to every American for the taxes that they're paying to facilitate this. And furthermore, it should be even of greater concern to the future generations of yet unborn Americans who we are shackling by not standing up. And Grayson, you know, I admire you. You know, I want to come to address your organization. I want to come to the University of Riverside to debate. I've been to Harvard University and debated. You know, even Cecilia Munoz, who was at the time Vice President at La Raza, refused to come there. And that lady above her, the president, refused to come there and debate me. So I've been to the universities. I've been to Long Beach College. I've been to Riverside. I've been to Harvard. And I'll go anywhere because America's youth needs to be awakened and hardened to the real ramifications of not just tax dollars, not just jobs, but your future.
Well, Raymond, thank you. And you do make the point. Everything government moves on the backs of a taxpayer. Bill Payne, do we have any other callers waiting on the line?
Yes, we do, as usual.
All right, sir. Maybe you want to take somebody with their hand up.
All righty, I will do that. Actually, I have someone with their hand up. That I don't recognize their number. And this person is from the 972 area code, exchange 409. Who do we have on the line, and where are you calling from, please?
Hello, my name is Morgan McComb. I am calling from Dallas, Texas, and I'm calling in because Raymond invited me.
Welcome.
Oh, right.
Welcome.
Hi, Morgan. I'm glad you called in.
Hey. Okay, so I'm going to educate you on something that maybe you weren't aware of. Every 2 years we have our Texas State Constitution or our convention, and this year would be 2014. It has been less than a year. They were really pushing hard for what's called the Texas Solution. I don't know if you heard about it in the news, but it was basically amnesty, and it literally came down to a floor fight. We have 9,000 delegates. 9,000 alternates, so it's a room of 18,000 people fighting over one or two words, okay? And it can get pretty nasty, and we ended up, it's Robert's Rules of Order, so they try to trick you with attaching two votes together. You really have to be on your A game. So we literally had people in the audience with signs that were red and green, red vote no, green vote yes, and with just about 8 people doing that and helping everyone else who's not familiar with the Roberts Rules of Order, we were able to control the vote enough to beat them by 1,000 votes. They were going to take the Texas Solution to D.C. during the Gang of Eight crap that Boehner was doing, and they were going to say, look what Texas wants, and we shut them down. They spent, I don't even know how many millions they spent. They bought this huge area in the convention, and they had, you know, a fireplace, and they had, you know, somebody playing the guitar, and they're like, oh, come, the Texas Solution is so good for Texans, you know. No, we didn't buy it. We were not buying what they were selling, and we sent them on packing. So I don't know if y'all realized that that was happening about 6 months ago, but we were pretty proud. We went out and had a nice dinner afterwards.
Well, Morgan, America's proud of you, too, and we thank you for that. I mean, it takes everybody from state to stand up.
And they'll try, they'll try, you know, this trick, that trick, you know. We just have.
I think that came up, Morgan. Rick Perry came out and talked to us on Saturday. So I think mention was made on that, so. Yeah, God bless you folks in Texas. We've got a lot of good friends in Texas. As you know, that was our headquarters for Americans for Fair Taxation, and we had 3 Texans that really put up the money to do the study on H.R. 25, what ultimately became H.R. 25. So we've got a lot of good friends down there, and we're happy you called in. And do you have any questions for our young guest, Grayson?
Grayson, hey, I want to know, based on your political activism, how many of your friends support Ted Cruz for president?
I have not actually, I haven't asked anybody, to be honest. I've put out some newsletters for another organization that I work for. And for the record, for Raymond, I actually do have a job right now. I'm lucky enough to have a part-time job working in politics even. I haven't really asked that much. So you brought that to my mind. So you know what? I might as well start asking.
Please do. And, you know, we have a group on Facebook called Ted Cruz 45. As in, we want him to be the 45th president. So anybody listening, if you would like to join, we would love to have you.
Raymond Herrera is a member.
Yay!
Yeah, I support Ted Cruz. Here's a man with intestinal fortitude and the knowledge to lead and much more.
That's right. Do you all have any
very questions? Very good man. We thank you for that. Thank you so much for calling in, Morgan. We hope you'll join us again in the near future. Bill, do you have anybody else on the line for us, sir?
Actually, we have a number of folks on the line, and some have been on there for a little while. Although, they don't have their hands up. Now, they're probably sitting there thinking, what is that crazy dude talking about? I'm putting my hand up, but how are you going to see my hand up? The way I see your hand up is if you press 1 on your phone. And that way, it lights up on my screen here and tells me that you want to be on. And now, all of a sudden, a couple of hands went up.
Your hands go up. Hallelujah.
I'm kind of wondering about this one. I recognize the number, and I'm going to bring her on right now. I believe this is our friend Robin. Are you with us, Robin?
Yes. Hello. This is Robin Vinson from Southern California. Great show. Really enjoying the passion and the intellectual verb coming across these airwaves tonight. So thank you.
Thank you, Robin, for all that you do. I might mention to the folks that Robin passionately works at We the People Rising and does a marvelous job. I had the distinct pleasure of going out with her and her crew to Senator Barbara Boxer's office a couple of weeks ago, and also down to Congressman Pete Aguilar's office. Very, very enjoyable day, and it's always nice to take our employees, our people in Congress that work for us, and our senators, and check up and see what they're doing and how they're spending our hard-earned tax dollars. So, anyhow, Robin, maybe you can give us an update on what you've been doing this week.
Yeah, that's right. We are calling, going to our elected officials' office, our senators and Congress members, and our issue has been to work on defunding Obama's illegal amnesty, which is in a bill that it's a little complicated. Mitch McConnell is letting the bill go forward now without the amendment to defund the Obama amnesty. So that's where we have been focused, our organization, this week. And Raymond Herrera, of course, has been leading that charge. And a question I wanted to ask Grayson and Raymond, where it seems like the issues of taxes and illegal immigration dovetail is this. What about starter jobs? You talked about it a little earlier, but so many of these jobs now are more difficult, Grayson, for students to get, like a fast food job, where at one time students were in demand for those types of jobs. So Raymond and Grayson, can you just talk about the workforce and how, Raymond, it's affected by the illegal working population?
Well, let me address it first. First of all, when you look at starter jobs, you look at the bottom. You look at McDonald's, you look at Arby's, you look at convenience stores, you look at, you know, ice cream parlors, you look at Walmarts, you look at Stater Brothers. These are the starting jobs for all of America's youth. And regardless of their education level or their desires to be educated, so that, you know, it facilitates, you know, them into the workforce. For college students, it facilitates their college education, gets them any experience. And for others, it gets them into the workforce and gets them into some work experience, and then they move further up the ladder. But, you know, like in Grayson's particular, you know, field, let's say politics, you know, going to college, you should be an intern at a congressman's office. You know, and you can go to Pete Aguilar's office, you can go to Norma Torres's office, you can go to even John Boehner's office, and you will find that their interns are illegal alien children, whether they're born here or brought here no fault of their own, and they're the ones that are doing the internship at not only there, but at law firms. They're doing the internships at medical facilities, you know, at pharmacies and hospitals, because they're bilingual and they have the same degree and the employer looks the other way. So when you graduate, they have the work experience. And when you graduate and you stand before the American corporate employer, they have the work experience and they're bilingual. They're bilingual that can communicate with 40 million illegal aliens who stand on American soil. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, go out there in the professional field and ask doctors and lawyers and everybody else. Go look at the billboard signs. They advertise for lawyers and doctors and medical clinics and everything. So that, you know, it's really an uphill battle for Grayson as much as it is for the American that's going to go into the trades. You know, you go look at the trades in carpenters, you look at cement masons, you look at iron workers. They're all bilingual. They all speak Spanish on the job, and they don't like Americans coming on the job. I spoke with the union leader out of Riverside for the laborers union. He told me his foremen say to him not to send anybody out that's not Mexican and doesn't speak Spanish. And you look at their catalogs and everything, it's all illegal alien foremen, superintendents. You look at their payrolls, it's all illegal aliens. And guess what? The taxes for Social Security and IRS taxes, they're being collected by our government. And they know that these numbers are fraudulent, but they keep the money anyway at the expense of the American tax dollar, but also at the expense of the American worker. It doesn't matter what part of the work sector or what age you're in. So, I mean, when I look out there, John, I mean, I have, you know, children that suffered the wrath of the Mexican invasion as little kids. And now that they're Grayson's age, you know, they're not, some are going to college, but some aren't. They're battling the illegal alien child brought here no fault of their own, or the illegal alien child born of an illegal alien parent. So therefore, it is convoluted, and that's why I say we need to stand on our moral political platform, the American creed, and attack the four major components that I gave you and address that to not only body politic in Washington, D.C., but to the American people. This is our country. Its opportunities are ours. It's the life is ours. The freedoms are ours. And until we stand united, be it at the college level, be it at the starter job level, be it, you know, at my level, we're going to be divided. And you know, one of the things I will say about Ted Cruz is the man that can lead this country because he has what I call American spine. And under his leadership and his guidance and his knowledge of, you know, immigration and other fields in government, he's the man that I'm looking to. And but with that said, you know, that's in a nutshell. You know, I've been out of the workforce for almost 20 years as a carpenter, licensed contractor, and everything, because I can't find workers or the jobs aren't available to the American worker. So, I mean, Grayson, do you have something to add?
Yes, Raymond. I understand what your points are on bilingual workers, the fact that employers are demanding them, and of course, anytime you have any increase in supply, then that obviously changes things economically. But from my research, I've seen that the bigger problem is an overall economic depression, and we're seeing a lot of those jobs. I know you mentioned all the fast food jobs. What I have personally taken notice of is that a large number of those places, at least in my area, are participants in the E-Verify program. So a lot of times it's not an illegal immigrant issue. We see a lot of times it's that the jobs that a lot of older experienced people were in were eliminated because of various other factors, and that we see them now going into fields like retail and fast food. That's a factor. I understand that that we do have the factor, obviously, of a growing immigrant workforce. I personally do believe that there needs to be a better solution to immigration. I don't see full amnesty as a solution, and I don't see mass deportation as a solution. There is somewhere in the middle, within the confines of rule of law and what has been done before by even Republicans, that needs to be accomplished, because believe it or not, even though my last name would not indicate it, my mother is Hispanic. I'm half Hispanic, and I don't feel that, and I know Raymond also is Hispanic, from what I can tell from his last name.
Well, Grayson,
I'm going to jump in here, Raymond and Grayson. Just a minute, Raymond.
Sure.
You guys are doing a great job, and you make some very good points. I just want to keep this going, because we're going to be down here in about 20 minutes. Maybe Bill has some calls. I'd like to get back on some of the other issues. And by the way, I'm a half breed too. I'm half Yankee and half Rebel. My mother was from Connecticut. My dad was from Georgia. Bill, let's see if we have some other callers, and maybe we can get them on.
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, our good friend out in California, Dr. Ken Smith, is with us. I recognize his number. Are you with us here, Ken?
I sure am. Can you hear me okay, Bill?
Oh, yes. Got a good connection. Hear you 5x5.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, thank you. What I was going to ask, Morgan had got on from Dallas, Texas, I believe, and I didn't catch what she was talking about what convention she was in, or what would she mind telling me a little bit more about what that was?
I'm sure she would if she were still on the line, but she has
she's not. Oh, okay. The other thing I think that what I wanted to comment upon or ask questions about is what is going on right now in terms of this amnesty argument or debate that's going on. Are we going to see the Republicans completely succumb and let Obama get away with breaking the Constitution completely this week?
Can I take that, John?
You certainly can.
Okay, here's where we are with Obama. First of all, you know, it's despicable that we have to work our democracy in the court system. But be it as it is, we had a federal judge, Hayden, that ruled against Obama amnesty. And we have 25 other states that are coming in behind them. Obama, in his appeal to stay, you know, the order of Judge Hayden, has to come back through him. He has to give the approval. He could sit on it for a year, 2 years, or he can never rule on it. But then Obama can take it to the appeals circuit in Louisiana, the circuit court in Louisiana. But I got to tell you, America, that the appeals court will not hear it, because they only hear appeals. That's at the end of the trial, not at the beginning. So we're now working our democracy in the Supreme Court or the federal courts of America. And that's despicable, because we've allowed America to sink into this mess by not being politically active. So Obama amnesty is dead. The implementation of Obama amnesty in relation to tax dollars is dead. The will, the voice, the will, and the mandate of the American people, that is democracy, and that's what will reign supreme in the end. In the next year or so, you're going to see court battles. You're not going to see any implementation of any Obama amnesty. On the other side of the coin, the Mexicans or Hispanics or Latinos, as Grayson alluded to, illegal aliens, that's the sugar-coated word for illegal aliens because I'm an American, they're so despondent, they're giving up, and you know, they're about ready to riot in the streets. I say, bring it on if that's where we have to go to save America. But it's a despicable state of affairs that we find ourselves. There are moral, immoral, political and social inconveniences perpetrated by a corrupt government and also by America not working its democracy. So Obama amnesty is just going to be fought out in the battles in the courts, in the streets, and public opinion. And he's so desperate after Murrieta, after the body politics stood up to him, after the voters stood up to him in November, that he's actually acting like Adolf Hitler was in the last days of Berlin and doing psychotic things that he even knows can't be done. But the bottom line is this, America, we're not going anywhere, and we're going to save our tax dollars for the American people. And we're going to make it so that those that contribute the tax dollars are Americans and not illegal aliens. And one other thing, Grayson, in Orange County, just recently, Edison laid off 400 high-tech workers, hiring H-1B workers, and they're going to do another 100. And that's just the beginning of it. Plus, Obama, in his Obama amnesty, also gave them work authorizations for the wives and the spouses of H-1B workers. And that's going to, you know, so nobody's above the fray. It doesn't matter what level you're at. Your ethnicity doesn't matter to me, and it doesn't matter to America because we're the American people. We're not a nation of immigrants. The Commonwealth of we the people, America, is not a nation of immigrants. So I'm an American, and I see all of America in all sectors of life, in the work sector, being threatened this day. And we can fancy talk all we want, but one thing we have to remember, in the end, we're going to have to stand up.
Well, thank you for that, Raymond. One second here. Ken Smith, we're going to be in Sacramento together on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And maybe you want to mention what we're going to be doing up there.
Yeah, we'll be at the GOP convention, California GOP convention. We have a table in the exhibitor hall, and we will be promoting the Fair Tax Act. And we have a very wonderful banner that's in production. I just looked at the proof a few minutes ago. Looks awesome. And we have the two California co-sponsors. We're giving them a very good recognition with their big pictures up there. That's Congressman Issa and Congressman McClintock. And we also have a big picture of Congressman Woodall from Georgia. And then we've listed the all of the other co-sponsors from around the country on that banner. And at the very bottom, we say, do you see your representative on this list? And if not, why not? And so we think that I just wanted to also comment about Grayson's comments earlier about this being we're going to have to live with the income tax for years to come. There was a very small percentage of people who supported George Washington back during the Revolution, a small minority.
3%.
They still won the battle. So I don't think we need to be we should be overlooked. We are a growing group, and I think we have the potential to make this go over the finish line, in my opinion. So I'm optimistic.
I agree with you, Ken, and if I didn't, I wouldn't invest another year. I'm going in my 47th year, and I believe the time has come. I want to mention one other thing. We're going to have some books available that can be purchased thanks to Winning Publications. This afternoon, we heard from Dan Pilla's office, who was a guest on our show one week ago, and he's come out with his, I believe it's his 14th book, How to Win Your Tax Audit, and this is a fantastic book. I know Ken has a copy, and I got my copy, And this afternoon they told us if you would mention either my name or Fair Tax Time Radio, that you would receive a 10% discount on all of the Daniel J. Pilla books and CDs. So,
hey, John, can I just add one other thing to your comment
sure.
there? At the bottom of the other flyer or a pamphlet that was sent with my book, at the bottom of his statement from, I can't remember what publication, but it says, there is no other person in the United States that knows more about the IRS than Dan Pilla, including he knows more than the IRS commissioner himself. So I thought that was a great
That is a fact. Dan Pilla is the America's leading expert on taxation. He goes back before CATS, Citizens for an Alternative Tax System. He started in the taxation resolution business at 18 years old. It's an interesting story. I don't want to spend too much time on Dan. Dan is a phenomenal guy. He is the nation's leading expert, and we're happy that he supports consumption tax. And Ken, I'm going to ask Bill to open the line up to some other people. We're getting down to 9 minutes here, so I look forward to seeing you in Sacramento on Friday.
Absolutely. You as well. Thank you, John.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bill, do you have another caller, please?
Well, I don't have anybody else with their hand up. Let's see. I tell you what I can do other than, let's see, of course, we just finished with Ken there. I can also open up Robin's line again just to see if she has anything that she would like to add. And I do have someone on the line here from the 760 area code 686 exchange. And I'm not going to call on you because you haven't pressed one on your phone. If you want to press one on your phone, I'll call on you. How's that?
That's fair.
Meanwhile, I have opened Robin's line, and of course, there are other lines there with Grayson Peltier and Raymond Herrera are also on. I hope everybody's enjoyed this show. It has been kind of cool, to tell you the truth. We have a number of folks in the chat room too, which I've had a little conversation going along with Steve Isaacson there, a candidate for U.S. House for the 2016 election in the 3rd District of Arkansas. Welcome to the show to you, Steve, as usual. Sometimes Steve calls in, sometimes he hangs out and harasses me in the chat room. So anyway, Robin, your line is open again if you'd like to participate some more.
Yes, I would just like to make an observation that when we get to the bottom of the problem here, be it immigration, be it taxes, again, it's our elected officials not representing us. So it is just key, Raymond and Grayson, that we, the people, get hold of our elected officials. It's a new day in America. We used to be able to elect someone, and they did, you know, a halfway decent job. But now, Raymond, Grayson, and John, when we elect someone, we got to stay on top of them, just as we went to Senator Boxer's office, Pete Aguilar's office. We've got to make known and make sure our elected officials are doing the job of the people.
Well, so right you are, Robin, and this old hombre isn't as fast as he used to be once upon a time, but I used to call all 53 Congress people out of California twice a month, and I don't do that anymore because I'm calling them outside of California, but anyhow, you are so correct. The most important label any of us could carry is that of being an American citizen. It's more than just voting in the election cycle. We have to be engaged. We must be engaged. I tell young people like Grayson all the time, you are our next greatest generation. We're depending on you. You're taking the position of what our mothers and fathers did in World War II. and they were considered by Brokaw as the greatest generation, and by many others. They were activists. They were involved in what their government was doing, what was going on in the country. We have gotten to this point where people have become disconnected. And, you know, you're so right, Robin. We get the government we deserve. So if we're not happy yeah. with what's going on, you know, look in the mirror. Just take a look in the mirror. We own this. And I'm always so thrilled to go out with your group and Raymond, and I look forward to meeting Grayson in person and going to these congressional and senators' offices and going to the council meetings and board supervisor meetings. And we've got to be engaged. We have to let those folks that are on our payroll know that everything travels on the backs of a taxpayer. They are supposed to be stewards of our money. There's way too much waste, fraud, and abuse, and we're going to hold them accountable. And I think that we're beginning to get the word out there. America is getting angry, and for due cause. So I applaud everything that you do, Robin, and also Raymond and Grayson. And Bill, any other callers that you might bring on?
Got no one else that's not already live with us right now, other than like I said, with Ken Smith. We just disposed of him a minute ago. But we do have I want to thank everybody for being with us. We do have it's been a very interesting evening for me, and in the prep stages as well. We call it the introduction of kind of like play around with those sometimes and try to be a little creative and a little humorous and a little whatever, and it's fun to do. And I think this one worked out pretty good, although if you were here at the beginning of the show and listened to it, I'm sure it sounded like because of Blog Talk Radio's sound, which is terrible. However, once the show is recorded for podcast, for later listening, when you go back and listen to it later, it'll sound really cool, really good. So
amen.
I hope everybody will do that. I wanted to let everybody know, too, that if you'd like to know what's going to happen on Fair Tax Time Radio next week or as far in the future as we can plan, go to fairtaxtime.com. And you can also generally find information on fairtaxnation.com. And also on HR25FairTaxReview.com. But the quickest and easiest way I've found, anyway, is at FairTaxTime.com. That's your my go-to way to do it, anyway, because I'm the one that has to go there and put the information up there to start with. Anyway, that's another adventure. But I want to, as I mentioned a while ago, I was talking with Steve Isaacson in the chat room there, or chatting with him in the chat room. And he says he's in a great mood because even though he's in the exploratory section, he's actually polling at 58% in
wow.
the 3rd District of Arkansas. So what we have there is a man who is committed to co-sponsoring the fair tax when he's elected in the state of Arkansas. We wish him the best for that. We need some more co-sponsors, and that would just be fantastic.
Amen, Bill. So, and we might mention real quickly that Alex Molesky, who is the state leader for fair tax in Arizona, has done the paperwork. He is no longer in the exploratory stage of running for the U.S. Senate for John McCain's seat. He is going to run, and he was good enough to come over to Riverside and join us. We were real pleased to meet with him and introduce him to some people, and so another fair tax man is running for office. We wish him the best. We're going to do the most work that we can to support his campaign, and We also might mention, Bill, that we have a fellow running for the President of the United States. Why don't you talk about our friend Kerry?
Well, I won't talk about him very long because in about 10 seconds they're going to get cut off. But his name is Kerry Bowers. You can check him out. He bears it all, so to speak, on his website, kerrybowers.com. He sets the standard for all presidential candidates by telling you exactly how he feels about literally any issue at all. And it lays out not just how he feels about, but what he would do about these issues. And so I encourage everybody to go check out Kerry's website, kerrybowers.com. He's a terrific guy. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. Is that correct? Yes. And
that is correct.
And also has a very presidential deportment about him. Speaks well, and just if you go check him out, you'll get behind him real easily. He has a disadvantage of course, he doesn't have the name recognition that all the names that everybody talks about every day. But we can fix that. We still have 2 years to do that. So, at any rate, I want to thank Raymond again and also Grayson for being with us and sticking with us the whole time. It's just fantastic to have you with us, and I hope we can do this again. I'm going to play a little pre-recorded thing considering tonight's show. We had a good little conversation about illegal I don't like them to call them illegal immigrants. I don't call them illegal migrants because an immigrant has come here legally. So it's kind of illegal immigrant is a, what do you call that? An oxymoron there. Anyway, I'm going to play a little thing here for you to close, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. Check us out at fairtaxtime.com for next week's show, and we'll see you then.
The fair tax is unlikely to affect the amount of illegal immigration, or legal immigration, in fact, that goes on today. What it will do is it will capture taxes from illegal immigrants that today may not file income tax forms and pay the federal income tax. In addition, you have to be a legal U.S. resident to be able to get the prebate. So if you want to be exempt from taxes on your essential goods and services, you're going to have to be a legal resident. So if I was an illegal resident in the United States under the fair tax, I would not only have to pay tax, but if I wanted the benefit of the prebate, I would actually have to become a citizen to get that. So I think it's going to have a very good effect on our system vis-a-vis illegal immigrants.